iHeart Podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
And we're back, baby.
We're back.
We took a week off.
Can you imagine? This is a...
Oh my God.
This is one of the many philosophical debates between me and Peter is it allowed to take a week off?
No.
From a podcast?
In my mind, you are the one that made this podcast happen in the beginning, but I'm the one that makes it happen. And so I feel it's my responsibility to no weeks off. But it was a new year, so we did, and I feel great about it. But boy, we have things to talk about.
Yeah, so much has happened.
Christmas? Yeah.
Christmas.
How was your Christmas, Beth? I think it was pretty good.
Really? I mean, Christmas.
I mean, we've had holidays that have been very stressful.
Okay, well, here's the highlight. The main takeaways of my holiday break is that I was very sick in different ways for different parts of the trip. And then also on top of that, you had to come back to New York City for a night for an audition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was then left alone with my kids and my family in an environment my kids are not familiar with, which is has them just like slightly on edge all the time.
Add a lot of sugar.
And a lot of sugar. Just mostly meals of sugar.
A lot of exciting semi-strangers to them.
Yeah. A lot going on. It's just...
You know, now you describe it that way, the full day I had alone in New York City really, really made things easy.
Yeah, I can imagine. It sounds wonderful.
Did you notice that... well, I was very aware of the fact that I was abandoning you. And so I went to the grocery store. That was my way of helping.
You did. That was a pleasant surprise, I'll say. I have to say for the listeners, it's been a tense couple weeks between us because there's just been a lot to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of transition, and Maven has been particularly on edge for, I would say, the last month or so.
Yeah, well, it's the potty training.
It's the potty training, and it's the no pacifier, and it's the big girl bed, and she just doesn't know how to transition to simple things like going to sleep. And, you know, she's just, her life has turned upside down, and she's still figuring it out.
She's like, shocking to hear, but at 2.5, she doesn't have it all figured out yet. You know, it's not like a 3-year-old who's got the whole rest of their life nailed down.
It's highlighted, I would say, some weaknesses in our system.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Well, I think there's no new news here.
No.
It confirms, you know, our continual weaknesses, which is, you know, me...
Just trying to get kids to do stuff that they have to do.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty well, and I think we've both gotten better.
We're doing okay. I think, I would say... This last month, particularly like the last week or so of the holidays, was like a bit of a wake-up call. Do you know what I mean?
How so?
I just, not like in a horrible way, but just like, okay, I feel like at the current rate we're going, the habits that we and I are creating with our children are unsustainable and are not going to turn them into the humans that I would like and hope for them to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just realized we have not spoken to
each
other.
We really haven't had a time to digest everything that's been happening.
Well, this is really telling because this podcast is the only time we talk to each other. Because in my mind, I was like, I've been feeling great. My routine, I mean, not everything. I know there's some things that were insane, but the routine tonight and getting them out the door, feeling good. And, and also like I've gotten so much shit done in 2 weeks, of like, I literally made a list of everything, big annoying thing that I've been putting off forever.
I would agree. I think since we've been back home, I think we've been heading in the right direction. But for me, it was like recovery from the holidays.
Gotcha. That makes more sense. Because like, I'm talking about since New Year's, I've been feeling really good.
Yeah, but I would just say it was more like I came back from the holidays being like, okay, we need to like repair some damage in our collective family psyche of what our kids have been like, what their baseline energy is like. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
They're just trying to get them to do anything.
Yes. I mean, the holidays ruin all routines.
Yeah.
And we want to relax. I am definitely not as worried about it as you are, but I think that your feelings are valid.
My feelings about the stress of the holidays?
Yeah, and like what you're talking about, I think that's true.
I think, here's the thing, like I think I take on way less stress for the holidays than say my mothers and aunts would have done, because I'm not really like, I'm not yet in the position of having to cook like a huge meal for a bunch of people or make beds for them and prepare. You know what I mean? But like at the same time, that's, to me, I think that's like the energy of the holidays that's in the air that like I expect to encounter. So I can't fully shake that feeling of being responsible to make, like, I guess what the moms in my mom group would say is like, we make Christmas happen. Like, you might go buy a thing, like a present, but it's, at the end of the day, it's often the women who, like, are making sure, like, there are presents, there is a tree, there's a meal planned, the meal is going to get cooked on time. Like, just all those little details that make Christmas what it is, uh-huh. like, behind the scenes, women just have to, like, be on top of every little one. And, like,
yeah,
you can choose to maybe participate. Like, I understand it's getting more balanced between men and women on these types of things, but it's like at the end of the day, women have like so many gears ticking in the back of their head of like,
yeah.
what is going to get done within these 25 days?
Yeah. And this is something that I think that, you know, we didn't have all of those responsibilities you're talking about because we were guests in general. But I think a really good point that you brought up, something that I never think of, and I always have to remind myself later, is the, you know, the fact that you get so stressed, and I'm always surprised in a certain way because I'm like, whoa, what's happening? Because I'm so like looking
You're
at
like,
the thing right
the
in front of me.
The holidays are great. Everyone just gives me stuff, and I love it.
No, I'm always just, I worry about the thing that's immediately in front of me. But you are a person who is feeling everyone's feelings, and you. And like, I'm not aware of it. And so I'm like, I don't understand where all the stress is coming from for you all the time. And so when it boils over, I'm always like surprised, less so than ever before, because we've been through this.
Here's why I always tense up is like December 1st, I'm making a list of to-dos and you are in a mode of like, adding to-dos. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, your family does like a gift exchange, which I think is great. But like, personally, I just think I have like enough on my plate mentally that I don't want to buy a gift for like a random person I don't talk to. Like, I would love to spend that time planning a gift for like my best friend or someone like to really like, I have nothing against your family members. I just like, there's only so much energy
priorities.
I have in the month of December.
Yeah. Well, what's
and so you're, when you were like telling me about things like that and like sometimes arguing with me or like you're laying out like your goals for things that I don't know if you're going to have time to do and it's going to take away from the time that I need the kids watch so I can wrap presents or do X, Y, and Z. Like, that's what stresses me out is like, you're just like, can I add a few more things to your list?
Well, it's like, yeah, but I think this is the best we've ever done. Myself, I think the best I've ever done.
I mean,
like,
it's
not giving you response. I got it all done later than you would have liked to, but I was done by the 16th, 17th.
I would say compared to other years, I was fairly calm. It's just like when we went into like the actual holidays and I was like sick and tired and like it was just the stress of everything. Like, you know, it was just...
Yes. Well, my whole goal this whole trip was to try to be five steps further ahead than I normally am. to make things easier for you. And I'm going to congratulate myself for doing better than I ever have. And you still, at one point, went into another room to stress cry.
I did?
Yeah. That was right when I got back. I drove to New York, and then I came back, and...
Well, okay. Yes. Here's what happened. I forgot about this, but this is the real cherry on top of it all, is that I was dealing with a lot of stress trying to manage our two, like, fully insane children on, like, their the most overstimulated day of their lives.
And they have so much sugar.
They're just like insane and like violent and whatever. And so I'm dealing with them. And then I was like one of those days where you like don't have a second to sit down or eat or whatever. And I was like sitting down to eat. And everyone, it's like, you know, when you're like in a really bad mood and everyone can tell you're in a really bad mood, but you don't really want their acknowledgement of it. Like,
yes, I do know that.
And they're like, and people are, like, trying to, like, get me food in a way. I'm just, like, I don't even care. Like, just everyone, like, look away from me and pretend, like, I'm not doing this. So I'm, like, trying to get, like, two bites of food into my mouth to, like, calm down while our kids are, like, not sitting down to this dinner that's been prepared for, like, my whole entire family that is, like, visiting us for the, like, you know, a few hours we're going to see them. My kids are just like running around and I'm like, well, let me at least get like two bites of food into my mouth in the meantime. And then Maven did something. Oh, she was like throwing things off of all the tables, like throwing a tantrum. So I had to like take her away from everyone and restrain her.
Yeah.
And in the interim of me walking out of the room and doing that, you got home from 24 hours out of the state. You had gone back to New York and been like all alone, going on an audition, enjoying your life while I had been watching two kids. You come back 24 hours later, walk in the door, sit down in my seat at the table with my plate that I had made for myself. And you...
I want to take over the story.
Okay, go ahead.
So I walk through the door and I was not aware of any of this. And I walk in and there's a giant room full of people, a bunch of relatives that I did not see arrive. And so I'm performing and here I go. And like your mom's like, here, have some food, which was, I guess, your plate. It was untouched. And so I go and I like have two bites.
I knew in my mind that my family had aided and abetted this situation because it's such a classic tale of families that you could, as a mom, you can be like, again, truly losing your mind at the exhaustion of parenting. And a man walks in the door and everyone's like, get this guy a plate of food.
However, I took one bite of this food and then I saw you and faster than I ever have in my life, I put all the pieces together and I go, I need to get away from this immediately.
Like, it's safe to say in this type of situation when you're like something about vacations in particular where your kids are in a new environment, like any amount of time that one parent has to like navigate those kids not killing themselves in that environment is like if you come back from not being there, you I think have to expect to like be like, okay, I'm on parenting duty.
Yeah. Well, I also, I'll tell you, I did have a thought because I came in and Maven was being fussy. And there's this very unfair thing, which is I know, and I've done this where I'm like, I'm going to go help. So I swoop in and like grab Maven. And of course, she's going to explode and start saying, not you, mommy, mommy. And in those moments, like I have to like circle like a shark in a, like the moment to help, but I can't. If I engage with Maven, the whole thing's going to be worse. And that was also one of those moments. So I was somewhat aware. And then I took one bite and I was like,
Yeah, so then I walked in and you're sitting at my plate and eating my food and my sister is like, oh, Peter's eating your food.
Well, I will say, though, I have to give you a lot of credit, which was you left and you went to be alone and you were really sad and upset. And I went in there to check in on you and you didn't take it out on me. You know what I mean? Like, you were upset. But you, like, I think sometimes when you're in that mode, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to get it. And you were an intensely emotional space, and you knew, and you just, like, let it be. And, like, that, I was thinking about you. I just spent the day filling the fridge full of groceries so that when you came home, there would be food and like all of that. And I think you handled that freak out well, is what I'm saying.
Thank you. I am just a very selfless person.
I think so.
To a fault. What I will say is, like, my family had a series of parties that week of, like, just kind of accidentally. It was, like, my, our big Christmas Eve party and my sister's birthday, and we did, like, an impromptu Christmas, Summa in Winter party.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the Summa in Winter party.
It just, like, it was, like, a long week of events that I think just kind of overstimulated all of us or something. I don't know. But we survived.
I loved it.
It was fun. We did. We dragged all the beach chairs up for my mom into the living room and did a Summer in Winter party.
Well, your mom is an IV nurse and she has to work a lot during the holidays.
She had to work a lot that week.
And so this is your sister going like to have something fun and exciting for when your mom gets home.
And she's been talking about having a Summer in Winter party for many years.
You haven't figured it out. This happens in near Boston. That's why it's a Summer in Winter.
One thing I will say is really funny about people from Boston is that they constantly speak in a Boston accent, but then when you do an impression or like you spell out words in a Boston accent, they're
like, why you spell it weird?
Their own impression of a Boston accent is bizarre.
It's terrible.
When they try to do an impression of it, they're like, Summer in Winter. And I'm like, that's not what you guys sound like. Just use your real voice. It's like, it's very funny. Anyway, I think we'll circle back to this at the end of the episode when we do our parenting resolutions.
Oh, we're doing resolutions. Great. Well, let's get to it. Next segment. Now it's time for We Knows Wins. This is where we talk about a parenting success. This isn't, Beth, you have something. This really isn't really about parenting.
Well, we've got to pigeonhole the topic into this segment.
Full disclosure.
We have been watching the Marie Kondo show on Netflix.
As is everybody, apparently.
What is it called? The Magical Art of Tidying Up or something?
It's just Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Okay, so I think it's the book is a different name. But anyway,
So do you want to explain the gist of it first?
Okay, I mean, I think a lot of people are watching this, so I'm not going to get too into it, but Marie Kondo has this organizing technique where she encourages you to go through your belongings category by category and you purge things that you don't need or love.
You only keep things that spark joy.
You only keep things that spark joy and she just has different methods of organizing your belongings and just sort of making everything logical. And so we watched the show on Netflix together. You surprisingly pretty into it.
Okay, you know what?
You're very into it, I would say.
I'm not into the, I don't need to like thank my items when I send them away and spiritually thank the home, but the efficiency and just practicality of the process is so wonderful.
So I love her and I love her whole vibe and I really relate to it. A lot of women I've talked to actually have had the similar thing where we're sort of like, we already do this. Like, this is our vibe. Like, I don't do exactly what she does, and I'm not necessarily as on top of it as she is, but, like, these are, like, my tactics already.
Yeah.
On a whole. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to watch because I'm just, like, excited to see her spread the joy of, like, having a livable space.
Uh-huh.
And it's definitely inspiring, like, it's funny watching it because you were really into it, but part of me the whole time watching it was like, I want to go be throwing out my shit right now. Like,
yeah, me too.
I love doing that.
And guess what happened?
So you went on an organizing spree, which I would say I had already been doing prior to watching this show in the week leading up, and then it was sort of like, as soon as you saw the show, you took over.
I did all of my clothes. I mean, every episode, everyone starts with clothes. So it's like random people and couples cleaning out their houses, and it takes them like a month at least.
Yeah,
but day one is piling up all their clothes.
I do yearly, if not more often. So I like.
Yeah.
I understand the first time you do it, it's like a process. But like for me, if I went to go do it now,
we're great at throwing things away.
Sometimes, but there really is, like, I think what's helpful about watching the show is being reminded of different categories, because I do think if I thought carefully, there would be some categories I was neglecting. Like,
yeah,
like I was talking to my friends about this, and I was looking at, like, jewelry is like a area where it's really hard to let go of stuff that's like you have like family guilt related to saving it.
Yeah.
And it's not really like serving anyone that you're holding on to like cheap jewelry that's like 30 years old.
Well, what's really interesting in the show is different people struggle with different categories. Like some people are like, I don't know what to keep because I don't care about clothes. And then they get to like books or something, but, and like that's their deal.
I think is so remarkable is she's so not judgmental about what is important to different people.
Oh, she's great. She, you know, because some people, as an audience, you want to be like, just throw that shit out.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Never in the context of the show does she ever, like, impose any kind of ultimatum. She's just sort of like, maybe this is a lot of Christmas decorations for one person. You could think about that. Like, she's like,
yeah,
and it's someone who has, like, three rooms of Christmas decorations in a one-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
it's zero judgment. I mean, she's the most positive, comforting presence, and I think that's...
In terms of our takeaways from the show, what I will say is funny about it is the parts of her philosophy that I find least helpful, like the way she folds clothes. I have always folded clothes and put them on their end, or not always, but for years I've done this, where you can see all your shirts
upright,
in a drawer,
yes,
which is great. And you've picked up on my technique because
it's fantastic.
It's a good way to live.
You open your drawer and you can reach every item in it without moving another item.
It's nice to be able to see and find things. But what I don't do is her weird obsessive folding of like this way and like this way and then thirds. Like, it's just like an unnecessary amount of time to devote to folding clothes.
Yeah. I mean,
what I think is funny about your takeaways from the show is like you love those details that make it rulified and like extra, you love extra rules.
She really is covering both ends of our brains, where like you love that she thanks the house and like takes a moment to close her eyes and feel presence.
I think there's something about doing that though, like whether you believe in spirituality and or not, that kind of ceremony, like it gives a end point to the people there. It's like, from this point on, we are changing this circumstance, you are agreeing to participate in this activity, and it's like their signature. Like, it's like they're closing their eyes and being like, okay, I'm gonna listen to this lady. And I think that's like really inspiring.
I totally agree that it is a positive thing. I just don't ever connect with the spiritual side of it. I connect with the like focusing and getting your mind clear so that you can do the job, and I totally subscribe to that. But I'm a bit more like, great, let's start doing
it. Yeah, but then like, so you started reorganizing stuff that I had already organized, and you kind of just like reshuffle it in the box. And
did you go through? I did a great job.
Well, okay.
I was also very aware of you being on my shoulder, and I was like, Beth needs to know where everything is. And my goal in doing all those drawers was Beth should already know where things are, but just pull out the crate and be able to grab anything she wants. I did spend literally an entire day on it, and you came home, and the only thing you said is, why the hell did you tape up this box? And I was
why the hell?
That's how it felt to me.
I've never said why the hell.
No, you've never said that. But I will say, I was a little crushed.
Well,
here's the thing is that I
use the toolbox frequently, and you don't really, unless you're feeling fancy. So I
use stuff in there all the time.
You put everything on end so that it can all be seen, but it's very precarious where if I were to pull one thing out, the whole system is going to collapse.
Not true. Not true at all.
So then in order to make this happen, you took a shoebox that was in there and you completely taped it shut on all sides. And when I questioned it and why that had happened, you said, we haven't opened this box in 10 years. And it's a box that I had literally opened 2 days ago to get something out of it.
You know what?
And
you know what? Like, there's literally whittling tools in there haven't used in 10 years.
The thing you'll notice about the Marie Kondo show is that she lets people organize the areas of the house that are their purview. So I didn't organize your clothes.
Listen,
you don't.
That toolbox is ours. It's not yours. And there was one little thing in that box
more than you.
That I didn't know was in there. And now I've taken it out and it's perfect. Just like the hours and hours. I did a great job and it made me feel great. And one piece of it was not helpful to Beth and I fixed it.
No, but it's not that one piece of it was off. I really don't care about the organization. It's fine. You shuffle things around in the same spot. But what I care about is the condescension with projects like that where you tell me about something that I've been dealing with for a very long time.
Okay, this is the thing. Here's a big goal I've had in the past few weeks and through the holidays, which was I'm going to do things and I'm not, and I failed at this. I'm going to do things and I'm not going to tell Beth about it. Because the second I start telling you, you immediately think that I'm asking for a reward, for praise.
No, and it's not the telling. It's you tell me in a way that's you're like, hey, idiot, did you ever think about organizing? And I'm
No. This is the thing. It's like, that's what you hear. You think I'm judging you all the time, and all I'm ever thinking is, God, please like anything I'm doing. I never judge you, and you think I'm judging you.
No, it's not the judgmentalness. It's the you, like, taking credit for things I've already
No, it's me
about.
Going, I did a thing. Do you like it? I tried to do it so you would like it. And you're like, this is... I mean...
That's not the way it comes out of your mouth, though. It's like, it's very mansplainy. It's like...
I think you are... Okay, I won't say that you're totally wrong. But I do think you have a more of a hair trigger to the perception of being talked down to.
No,
or,
it's not that. It's like so many women experience this. It's
I know
like,
they do.
Look at our home. Look around at our home. These objects, these belongings, all of this that happened, like I put it together. So like things like the silverware drawer, like the fact that we even own silverware is because I bought silverware. So
okay, this is a good example.
So you will bring up constant conversations where you're like, ugh, I just wish this part of our silverware drawer was more organized, blah, 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 blah. And it's like all of these things that you have had a decade to do something about.
Well, okay.
But you will like critique it aloud as if I'm supposed to like take notice and do something about it.
See, that's where the silverware drawer. Like, we watched this show, and suddenly I'm started thinking about all the stuff in our house that I never did before. And then I'm like, oh, I don't like how these knives move. And I say that out loud, and you take it as me going, Beth, why the hell did you put the knives this way? And that's not what I'm thinking at all.
Because you always use declarative statements. That's where it's misleading, because you always have to make grand statements, and you're like, knives shouldn't be this way. Like, you'll say things that are just like, I'm a knife expert, and the way that this has been going is bad and
Beth,
wrong.
You, not to be hyperbolic, but you are the queen of absolute statements.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. This is funny.
The way you speak on a daily basis, anytime you make a statement, you begin it with like the worst thing in the world.
I haven't done that in 10 years because you shit on me so hard for saying there's nothing worse than. I never say there's nothing worse than because of you. This is fascinating because what you're describing. I'm like, this is exactly how you talk to me, and exactly I spend every second just in such fear of talking that way to you.
We've talked about this so many times on the podcast. It's high context societies versus low context societies, and I cannot comprehend when words come out of your mouth, I interpret them literally, and I assume that you are giving them the same weight and meaning that I am, and you just say things that you don't mean, so I don't understand. I cannot comprehend it.
Oh. Oh, it is the idea that my number one fear is that is I say something that you're going to perceive as me attacking
I'm
or judging you.
I'm not trying to misperceive it. It just sounds like what you're saying.
But then you respond like so mean and like put me down and like attack me.
Because the and little like, words coming
I've
out of your mouth.
I'm literally just being so nice to you. And then suddenly you're like you're terrible. God. And I was like, what happened?
I'm responding to the literal words you're saying to me. That's what happened.
Well, maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, I just said that was the difference.
No. You are... Oh, this is the core of I'm enjoying this conversation, but like genuinely, this is the 100% the core.
Oh God, I feel bad for anyone listening to this.
Of our like biggest issue.
Okay, we gotta move
on.
Is
that you think I'm judging you and I never am, and so you judge me back, and then I feel bad. Okay, we're getting there. We're going to work through it. Let's end it there.
Thank you for being our free therapy, everyone.
Woo. Now it's time for Did You Knows? This is where we share something we found on the internet.
Yeah. Okay, so this isn't so much a fact as a conversation that I saw on Twitter that I thought was interesting. I was reading a Twitter thread by Elon James White, who goes by at Elon James on Twitter, and he had a thread about how... I guess I was referencing an earlier thread talking about how when his kid acts up at the playground or hits another kid or something, they just leave immediately. And he said he has had some parents of his kids' friends, I'll just read this verbatim, have compared themselves to me and my wife as if we were some sort of standard. They think my kid is an angel. My wife and I laugh. We feel like we're struggling. And of course, every kid is different. What works with one kid may not with another. But after watching so many kids up close and personal, I think the biggest difference between parents is how far they're willing to go to draw the line in the sand for what's acceptable. I refuse to hit my kid, but I grew up in a culture where obedience was not just expected, it was demanded. So while I don't hit, I will time out the fuck TF out of my kid and take away any food toy she holds dear in order to gain compliance. And as a parent, that shit is exhausting. I see parents give up or let the kid go bonkers because it's easier and they're tired. I get that shit. But that's probably the biggest difference between them and us, because I don't have an easygoing kid. She's strong-willed and full of personality. So I never give up. If I gave up or let my kid cook because I was tired, she would run roughshod right over us. She senses weakness and takes advantage immediately. Not in a malicious way, but in a I'm a toddler and I'm just learning my powers way. She'd be ruling my wife and I. My kid listens to me in a way she doesn't even listen to her mother, because for the past 9 months, mama has been exhausted, so daddy had to be the enforcer. I learned quickly the more leeway I gave, the more she took. When I shut her down, she'd be mad/cry, but she'd learn. When I hear her acting up two floors away and with one daddy bellow of Sydney, she will stop what she's doing and beg not to bring daddy into whatever situation it is. Anyway, I'm going to stop there, but I think I found this thread sort of inspiring and sobering regarding the current obedience level of our children.
It all sounds very familiar.
Yeah, and I think... what I think is interesting about this is part of it is developmental. When you look at Maven and Bryn, the difference between a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and what they can comprehend and where you can lay down the law to any effect is different. It's different.
Yeah.
So I think some of these are skills we're sort of just learning with Bryn, maybe perhaps a little too late, but maybe we're on, I don't know, maybe we're on track. But he is starting to be able to comprehend those things, and we're sort of catching up with realizing that. I think I'm starting to realize needing to set better boundaries with him in regards to the consequences of certain actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think where it gets tricky is when you're dealing with two of them at the same time, you kind of like forget who you're talking to.
Yeah.
And so we've also started trying to set too many boundaries for Maven, because you just forget that she's not as smart, because she really does seem very smart.
Yeah. Know? She like, acts like it.
Yeah. But then like sometimes you just have these moments where she's freaking out and you remember she's a 2-year-old and it's just like,
she's trying to negotiate with her. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
She doesn't understand.
She doesn't understand.
Like this or that. I mean, some little simple thing she does, but I'm like, you could either get into bed and have the toy and go to sleep early, or we can read a book and not get in bed and do it. And I'm like, she lost me after two words.
She literally is still just thinking like, I want milk or whatever. But yeah, like,
she's just looking at your face trying to burn a hole through your
brain. But I think what's interesting about this is that like, one, developmentally, you can't set certain boundaries. Two, with like pure human survival with babies and little kids, you just can't expect certain things of them. And as a mom who's like had them in her body and then fed them from her body, it's like to find those boundaries, sometimes you're playing catch up because you're just so used to that kid being like literally inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like to be like,
I mean,
you are separate from me and you need to do this and I'm not responsible for it is like, it's actually a hard thing on an emotional level to comprehend, because like literally like this kid came out of me and I put them here and I have been like 24/7 responsible for keeping them alive for like a lot of all of their time here. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'll say that I have recently, you know, you keep relearning the same lessons over and over. And the big tactic right now, because, you know, I've, in my worst days, I challenged them immediately, or like we had a late morning and I went in and I used to open the curtains and just let sunlight in and that would naturally wake them up. But I went in the other day and just sort of like threw open the curtains and both of them went like, ah, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. And they, and I was like, all right, we need to get going because I'm running late. I got to get to the train or whatever. And so I had to wrestle Bryn into all this clothes. It was one of like
the
worst moanings ever. So since then, though, I've been full just slowly moving out of the way of their attention. This, and I know also that the second I look, because I used to do, I'm going to distract you, but I do it by looking at you and changing the subject. And they can tell just by the fact that I'm focused on them, that I'm trying to get something from them. So my new tactic is to walk in and just act like I'm paying attention to something else, and they don't feel defensive, and they're far more likely to get sidetracked and then just start participating.
Well, okay, the only reason I wasn't more critical of you that morning when you like triggered them immediately upon waking up into this state, I was because over the last month, I've also experienced so many moments like that where I'm so tired and so desperate to get them to just like move along that I like do the same thing where I fall into their trap of starting a fight and then like escalate it.
Yeah.
And it's really like when you're tired and like have had that bit like happening over and over again, it's really hard to like disconnect
from
it.
And if you don't have time, that's the biggest thing.
But like
today, this morning and going to bed, I'm just going to start early and I'm like, going to give it the time it needs. And everything was great.
So someone recommended in my mom group this program, which is like just some random sort of like 30-day exercise you do. And it's called like bewhoyouare.com or something like that. And it's like it's meant to like sort of rewire your brain. And one of the day's lessons was talking about how we receive endorphins from different activities. And if you do something painful, your body also releases endorphins, which normally, you know, make you feel happy. So we learn to seek out painful activities in order to get the hit of endorphins that is associated with them, even though it's like counterintuitive to seek out negative experiences. And it's why people become addicted to things like cutting, because you're like, you inflict something very painful on yourself and then your body is trying to compensate and experiences a rush of endorphins.
That is fascinating. I think that's why the hitting issue is like not getting better.
I think what has started to happen with our kids is we have fallen into a pattern of behavior where I think we too become addicted to the conflict. And it's like very easy to fall into it and expect it and like just like be like, oh no, here he comes, like starting. It's just like, it's been, I don't know. It's just been a lot. And like, I think we're now learning. It's been a lesson in how we can respond to them because I have had the same experience in like the last week since we got back from vacation, where it's just like, okay, I'm going to be unemotional about this. I'm laying down the law and here are the consequences. And I've had a couple of moments with Bryn where he's had massive like tantrums in response, mm-hmm. where I just don't give him the thing he wants and he freaks out and he's kicking and screaming. And then I have to restrain him because he's kicking. And then I have to be like, I'm not going to let you kick. We don't kick. Like, and you just have to sort of stand your ground for, unfortunately, like an hour.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, I'll finally be able to walk away from him where he's just sort of like crying and not kicking. And then he will inevitably like sneak back over to me very sad and want like a hug.
Yeah.
And he's like, he still loves you no matter like what kind of boundaries you set. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's like,
I mean,
the thing
is
that
the
you're
rage
like.
Rage thing. Like Bryn has been hitting and all that. And he has like rage in his eyes.
Yeah.
And he's stomping and breaking things, so I have to like hold him down in his bed.
And it's so exhausting. It's just like, to keep it up, that's the thing. It's like, it is not only emotionally exhausting to like fight with a kid, but like the physical exhaustion of physically restraining him so he can't, because again, he's learned this thing, this weapon against us, where he won't just hit us or kick us. If we leave the room, he'll stomp on the ground to upset our downstairs neighbors.
Because the fact that I'm like, you're not allowed to stomp.
Yeah.
We leave him alone and he will like throw a Lego out the door and then look at you because he wants to engage.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you're describing.
We are left with no other option than physically restraining him because our poor elderly downstairs neighbors are not enjoying these kind of antics.
Us or anything we do ever, because everything about us is loud.
But anyway, I think we're hitting a turning point because I've had conversations with him after he flipped out and he's calm. And like, you even went to the extent this weekend where you ended a play date where he was supposed to have a friend over, and it was like much more extreme than we've attempted in the past, but it's sort of just like...
Well, we went to breakfast with friends and he hadn't seen his friend forever, and they're both insane.
They're amped up on seeing each other. They're eating pancakes
and syrup sugar. He was like, before we went into the diner, I was like, we'll go in here if you don't do this and this. And by the end, of course, he did those things.
Yeah.
And then when we got home, he ran away from me. I literally called his friend's dad and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Bryn is throwing a 5-alarm tantrum here. I've got Maven in my arms, and I think we have to call the whole thing off. And then I start running because Bryn is running towards the street, and he's like, oh, I understand, obviously. And this, and I'm like, I'm really sorry. I have to hang up. I'm literally sprinting right now. Goodbye. And then I went inside, and Bryn had the biggest tantrum where he like cut his own nose from his fingernails. Yeah. But then when it's over, he'll walk into the room and he'd be like, hey, can we watch Ben 10?
Yeah, he
gets over things. I don't know that Maven will be the same way.
But I do think we have to nip it in the bud with the physical stuff because it's just like not sustainable to have a growing kid be like physically violent. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah. The biggest thing I think is to not point any aggression back at him, which sometimes is so hard to do because you're
so
enraged.
Hard. It's like, yeah.
But I think we're doing a great job.
This next segment is called Woody Knows. It's where we share a parenting hypothetical situation and discuss our response.
All right, Beth, I got one for you. This one. So we've already done a lot of these recently. And so I've decided to end the time travel theme. Even though I do have a lot more really good time travel ones, and we'll come back to those. But this email comes to us from a Ryan. Ryan says, hi there. My wife and I were researching parenting podcasts and we came across yours. We listened to a ton of parenting podcasts on our 12 hours of driving to and from our holiday vacation, and yours was definitely one of our favorites. We love the Would You Know segment. Well, how appropriate. So here's my hopefully detailed enough non-time traveling hypothetical. All right. This one gets specific. One of you has, in this case you, Beth, you've taken both kids with you to the grocery store. They will have both started a weird habit. They both have started a weird habit where they take off their shoes in the car, but then totally freak out when you reach your destination and you have to put them back on. When you arrive at the grocery store, you see a shopping cart right next to your car. Decide to spare yourself the hassle of putting their shoes back on.
So far, this just sounds like my actual life.
Yes, this is what attracted me to this one, because I was like, this is every day. When you arrive at the you see the shopping cart next to your car. You decide to spare yourself the hassle of putting on their shoes and make a poor decision to just let them get in the cart and go into the store barefoot. You are about halfway into your shopping with a pretty full cart, and everything is going surprisingly well. Suddenly, Bryn grabs his stomach and says he has to go to the bathroom very bad. You're in the back of the store, and the restroom is in the very front. You make your way through the busy store, ask a random employee to please watch your cart, pick up both kids, and carry them into the one stall bathroom. You kick the stall door open and see that the toilet is completely flooded with poop and pee all the way up to the top of the bowl, spilling out all over the floor. Just when you reconsider... Just when you reconsider...
There was like enough of a problem happening.
Just when you reconsider using that toilet, Bryn shouts that it's coming out and Maven starts wiggling and trying to get down. You are forced to put her down barefoot, remember? Hold Bryn over the toilet, pull his pants down just in time for an explosion of diarrhea to spray out everywhere. You are literally... sweating at this point.
This person got carried away.
Not done. You look over to the toilet paper dispenser and see that there is no toilet paper. You step back and look to see that there is only an air hand dryer, and there are no paper towels in sight. Oh, Maven is just standing there in the muck. To say Bryn needed to wipe is an understatement, and the diarrhea has now gotten on your hands. You and the kids do not have any spare, quote-unquote, clothes, in the sense that if you take off your shirt and or pants to wipe them down, you will be leaving shirtless and or pantsless. Same goes for them.
Oh my God.
What do you do, Ryan? P.S. Bonus points. Maven slips and falls in the muck at one point.
And then she turns to Bryn and says, I'll have what she's having. This person should write comedy for major motion pictures. At first this started off like a truly understandable hypothetical about like the tactics of being a parent in our modern world. And then it just turned into, what if you are in an avalanche of shit? What if you are covered in shit
This is halfway to like Saw 8.
This was like a creative writing exercise.
I gotta say, when I said you guys aren't giving me enough details, this is exactly what I was asking for.
Truly love these listener hypotheticals as much as I shit on them.
I think this one has lived up to your standards. You understand the scene.
This scenario, I guess I just scream for help. There's a lot of details in here about like that you don't have a change of clothes and like things that are sort of extraneous because like we're all covered in shit. Like that's the main problem. And then like to be like, here are other reasons why you're never going to escape.
This very clearly set up a scenario in which you're not solving the problem in that room. You have to leave that room with shit on you.
Yeah,
so how far do you go?
This guy wants me to say is I would do the shit walk of shame through the whole grocery store. I don't, like, what are my other possible options? They're not, like, it's not like they're calling, like, the higher-ups at the grocery store to, like, send over, like, a shit cleanup crew. Like,
okay, here's one option.
I'm covered in shit.
Here's one option, Beth, okay? You're wearing a t-shirt. You take off your t-shirt. You soak it in water. You swab down everyone. You take off their clothes and you swipe them all down.
What?
And then you just leave all the wet, shitty clothes in the corner. And you and your kids walk out shirtless straight to the car.
Okay, shirtless and pantsless. Our feet are covered in shit.
Well, your feet...
The shit is flowing out of the toilet, Peter. And out of Bryn. For some reason, I stay there when the toilet's overflowing.
Well, I don't think it's currently, like, gushing over. It's just... It's like... It's clogged up to the top. And it's like wet floor. Or...
I don't know.
You just... You just, as is, grab them and run out. That was like one of the first few episodes. You gave me a less terrifying version of this.
Yeah.
And mine was like, I wrap him in my coat, I put him in the stroller, and I go home.
I mean, this is pretty close to what parents experience. I've heard stories of people, like, their like, two-year-old just, like, ran into, like, a muddy lake or something. And they're just like, oh, now I'm in a public park while everyone's watching and my kid is fully cloaked in mud. Like,
did you say cloaked?
Yes. Like,
where did you get this cloak of mud?
These are just real parenting problems. Like, we're, like... It's hard.
Oh, this has happened to somebody. Maybe this has happened to Ryan.
It's,
in which case,
really,
this is beautiful nonfiction.
You only have two options. It's like fight or flight. And I don't think any amount of fighting is going to get the Trader Joe's employees to make this their responsibility. That,
well,
you're a family covered in shit.
You could get a Trader, we assumed it's Trader Joe's, but you could get
us some t-shirts.
Like, you could say, hey, excuse me, all of us are covered in shit. Could you bring me supplies? You, Trader Joe's, you make paper towels.
You
They're
have
on the
shit
shelf
supplies, before. Right? Hey, call the manager. I want shit cleanup supplies. My family's covered in shit.
You ring that bell up there that you have and get us some shit supplies.
Send me someone who knows what they're talking about, because my family's covered in shit right now. And I'm not happy about it.
So you would walk out the door and just be angry at people from the get-go? Excuse me.
No, my response, you know, would be flight. There's no way I'm fighting those people.
You and I think you're more likely to actually ask someone to help you.
Maybe, but it would be like, I would be like bending over, like with a kid covered in shit, and then someone would just be staring at me for like 10 seconds motionless, and then I'd be like, can you maybe grab the paper towels next to you? Could you toss those over? Like, I would just be like a little like, does anyone notice?
You would never say that. You have... Wow. Ryan, you just defeated us with this one. Like, there's no winning. We would run away.
I would call my senator. Call your senators. Make sure you're calling them for the right reason.
Yeah, you know what? That's enough of these Dyson hand dryers. We need paper towels.
I will say our town library does not do paper towels in the bathroom, and it's always concerns me. Like, I understand they're trying to be, that's probably energy efficient.
Always concerns you?
I just am like, this is a place where people bring families and there's just like no paper option. Like, it's just like.
Yeah. I've had those moments where I was like, one paper towel would be much better.
It's very austere. Like, it's every bathroom there. Like, it's just, or they'll be like a tiny roll of toilet paper. It's just the things you notice when you have like two,
shit-covered children.
Children.
Well, I'd say we definitely hit the record for the most times that we have said shit in an episode. And somebody recently wrote in to say that their child listens to the podcast and is a big fan of Brit and Maven. And they're like, he doesn't seem to notice when you swear. Disclaimer, now that it's over, maybe don't let him listen to this one.
Yeah, don't listen to this one.
this is how spoilers work, right? You explain it afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not listening carefully to this, right?
Shit.
Kids.
Kids, if you're listening to this carefully, please write in wenotspot@gmail.com.
Okay, so now we're going to do our Weenos resolutions for the year. As I stated earlier in the episode, my goal parenting-wise is really to lay down these boundaries with our kids. And just, I think the goal is, like Elon said in his Twitter thread, I'm just going to pick my battles. I'm going to lay down the consequences and I'm going to follow through on those consequences for Brynn, at least. Maven is still sort of a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what's your parenting resolution?
Well, I already do that. I follow through. But as you know, I'm unintentionally confrontational too early. So I'm going to ride the wave of their focus and their energy, and I'm going to gently redirect it instead of trying to like stop the whole river immediately. I'm going to just push it this way and that way.
You don't have to tape up the whole box. Just
well, I didn't know there was a level in it that people used. I took out the level and then the hours
of work
were worth
it. They're tools. They're used by definition. They're used. Okay.
By definition. This has been We Knows Parenting. If you would like to reach out, send us an email, question, advice, a would you know scenario, whatever you want to tell us, you can send us an email at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
And I just want to, before the episode is over, I want to give a big shout out and thank you to one of our listeners, Tracy from New York, who left us a voicemail to recommend a song from the Captain Underpants soundtrack that's all just farts.
Oh my God. We still have to post that video, actually. Of our
and
kids.
She said, your kids will love this, and they've never loved a thing more.
They loved that fart song to the extent where when our son hadn't seen his best friend in like over a week, he said, hey, Lucas, I heard the Captain Underpants fart song. Like, that was the first thing he said.
Big news.
It was like,
big news.
We haven't talked in a while, but I heard a song with farts in it.
Check out our website, weknowsparenting.com. All find us on our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at weknowspod. And oh my gosh, have yourselves a great 2019, babies!
Happy New Year!
Mate.